Welcome to Super Talk, the podcast that scratches your superhero itch. Just two suburban dads nerding out over superhero stuff on the small screen and the big. Buckle up, people. Enjoy the ride.
Welcome to Super Talk, the weekly podcast dedicated to news and reviews of comic book media on the big and small screen. This is episode number 48, and I'm your host, Brian Professor Pettis. With me, as always, is my illustrious co-host, Titanium, Tony Estrella. Titanium!
Professor.
We're here.
How are you, brother?
I'm great. We got a good episode this week.
Yeah, take us to school, man. We need to learn a lot. Pull out your notebooks, put on your studying glasses. And whatever you have to do, open up those backpacks, take out chapter one. We're going to get over. We're going to talk about Hawkeye, episode three. We're going to talk about Echo. And we're going to talk about something that's just really exciting as far as I'm concerned. And that is the Peacemaker trailer. I mean, okay, we'll get into it. But yeah, we got a nice show for you. So let's hit it.
Titanium is riled up. Here we go. Well, before we get started, we want to thank the patrons that bring the show to you. And these are the listeners that have chosen to sponsor our podcast and said, hey, we're going to give a dollar for every episode these guys put out. And we're going to help bring the show to you guys and sponsor them directly. And patreon.com/supertalk. We really appreciate those that have signed up. And again, we have a big giveaway at the end of the year. Our one-year anniversary episode, we're going to be doing a giveaway for everybody that signed up to be a patron of the show. So patreon.com/supertalk, you want to sign up, you're going to be part of that giveaway. And thanks for those who've already done it, and thank you for those who are going to do it, because we really appreciate it.
Yeah, we really, really appreciate it. Shout out to Gavin Klingham. I'm going to see him next weekend up in New York City.
He's our boy.
He's a filmmaker, amateur filmmaker, aspiring to be the next Steven Spielberg. So shout out to Gavin Klingham. Thank you so much for your advice.
Yeah, Gavin's the guy. So let's get into it this week. We're going to go straight into the review section and talk about Hawkeye Season 1, Episode 3, released on Disney Plus this past Wednesday. Man. I'm going to tell you right now, the first two episodes really, really set me off as far as like my expectations. But I'm going to tell you, episode three was like, it ramped up the excitement a little bit.
The writing was spectacular. There's not enough good things I can say about this episode. It's probably one of my favorite episodes out of... There's a WandaVision episode at the end there it's pretty damn good. But this episode I would put right up against the best Disney Plus so far. And you're right. This really, the relationship building now is completely kicked off. I love their interaction between Kate Bishop and Clint Barton. I think it's great. I really like this show, and I agree with you. It was probably one of the best ones. And it gets you excited about where they're going with the narrative, right?
So where we left off at the end of episode two, Hawkeye had basically given himself up to the tracksuit mafia. I'm like, hey, I got to get myself captured just so I can kind of get done what I need to get done.
Well, he wanted to inside tell them that the Ronin was not back. He wanted to let them know and get them off the heels of Kate Bishop, because they think Kate Bishop has something to do with Ronin.
Right. So he gets himself captured, and at the end of episode two, she comes flying through the skylight, crashes in, and, you know, and he just basically is tied up, and he's like, you know, oh, my God. Oh, so we start this episode with the two of them captured by the tracksuit mafia in their custody, tied up, you know, with duct tape to these, what are they, hobby horses or whatever they are.
Yeah, they're those quarter horses that you see out in front of...
carnivals.
Or like toy stores and stuff where you put the quarter in, it shakes and rocks. It's funny that they were both tied up to those.
But the way the episode started was really an introduction to the Echo character.
Well, the episode was called Echoes, right?
Right. So we got an introduction to her. We saw her as a very young
Maya
Native
Lopez.
American child. Mm-hmm. Her father, a Native American man. And we see her... deaf. She was born deaf, so obviously she's deaf. She's in class, in school, and her teacher is speaking to her, and you can see that she doesn't hear her, but she's kind of picking up like every other word she says from reading lips, and she's able to, you know, function and complete her schoolwork because she's able to pick up on the kind of reading lips part. And her teacher's kind of impressed by the fact that she can do this, right? Yeah. And they're like, oh, you finished your worksheet, even though you couldn't hear me.
Kind of a relief, a look of relief, like, wait a minute, this is not a handicapped child or a child with a disability.
Well, the teacher asked, do you need an interpreter? Right. And she's like, and she looks at her worksheet, and it's complete. And she's like,
in English, yeah.
Yeah, obviously you don't need an interpreter.
Right. She was impressed.
And then we get a scene with her and her father, a very telling scene of the two of them and the connection the two of them have. Of her saying, hey, Dad, I thought I was going to go to a special school that had other kids like me. And she was wondering why she wasn't in a school for deaf children.
Yeah.
And her father's like, I'm sorry. It didn't happen. We couldn't afford it, or it just something that we couldn't make happen. But you're going to overcome this. And they got in this whole story about dragons. Are dragons real? And, you know, dragons are they something that, and he's like, well, dragons have the ability to transfer, you know, go between worlds. And if they could come to our world, they'd be amazing. And she's like, well, you know, how come I didn't get into this school? And he's like, you're going to have to be like a dragon. You're going to have to be somebody that can go between worlds. There's a world of, you know, the deaf people like yourself, and the real world, and you're going to have to be able to transfer between those. And it was a great, powerful scene, not only talking about her struggling with her deafness, but also the connection between her and her father.
Yeah. He even calls her Little Dragon. But yeah, you're right. He's like, basically, you have to learn to jump between two worlds and in and out of that. And I think she's very adapted to doing that with, as far as what we say. But a really cool origin story. Not really origin, but background. I thought they did it in a short period of time. Could have been a little bit longer, I felt. But the short period of time that they did do it, you completely know who she is, where she's coming from. And, you know, the karate scene in the dojo was a great way to bring up the fact that, A, she has an artificial leg, and B, what her skill set is and what her abilities are, watching, learning, and duplicating.
Not only is she deaf, but she's missing her right leg, I believe, from mm-hmm. the knee down. And the next scene in the show is her in her karate class watching people, you know, and her dad was telling her beforehand, hey, just get ready for your match tomorrow and remember what you have to do. And she's in her karate class and she sees this kid kind of take some other kid down. And she's like, oh, well, that was pretty impressive. And she sees the move he used to take that kid down.
Yeah.
And now it's her turn, and she's got an artificial leg, and you see the kid look at her like, I'm not really sure if I want to, like, you know, really go after her, but I guess I have to. And she sees the move that he used and uses it against him, you know, basically takes his move and uses it to take him down.
Yeah.
And everybody in the class is like, oh, whoa, hey, hang on a second. This is pretty amazing, right?
Yeah, her father says it's not about speed or size. It's about watching and learning. And I think she uses that. I thought it was really cool scene. And then a huge reveal in the dojo that we got. Very interesting. So the scene is her father is saying, I have to go, but your uncle is going to take care of you and give you a ride.
Take you home. Your uncle's going to pick you up and take you home.
Yeah. It's a cute, touching scene between her and her father. And her father doesn't turn around or anything. He just kind of gets up as this person in a black suit moves behind him. Very large person. You don't see his face. And he kind of bends down and giggles and pinches her on the cheek. And she lights up. She's so happy to see him. And she's excited that he's there and that she gets to ride home with him, which is kind of cute. But we kind of know who that is, right?
Well, we're assuming. There's a big assumption of who that is. And again, there's more allusions to this individual later in the episode. But the fact that, hey, I can't bring you home. Your uncle's going to take you home. I have work to do. Your uncle's going to take you home. And this individual in a black suit comes up and pinches her cheek. We're like, who's the person in the black suit, yeah. right?
I think it's the Kingpin. It would make sense. All signs point to the Kingpin. I can't remember the actor's name.
Vincent D'Onofrio.
D'Onofrio. Vincent, and it kind of sounds like his laugh. At least people are speculating that it is his laugh. And very similar to the Matt Murdock arm in the Spider-Man trailer that was later debunked. I don't want to jump to conclusions here like half the social media did. You see one hairy arm and a rolled up sleeve, you automatically assume because he's in an interrogation room that that's Matt Murdock, his lawyer, talking to Peter Parker in the trailer. Well, once the IMAX version of the trailer came out, you could see the guy's face and it's obviously not Matt Murdock. So I don't know. Is this Disney screwing with us again or playing around with us again? I don't know, but I think it's the Kingpin.
I think this was purposeful illusion. And again, one of the things that is so funny about what's going on in social media and all these properties is that some of the worst kept secrets are probably the easiest ones to foretell. And we've already heard so many rumors about Vincent D'Onofrio coming back as the Kingpin in this series already. We've heard this. He's going to be in it at some point in time. It may be the last episode, but he's going to be in it. And it's like, okay, who's that person? Well, let's guess at who it could be. It's the Kingpin. And later on in the episode, which we'll talk about, Hawkeye talks about the Tracksuit Mafia and Echo. Oh, she's the boss. Well, he says to Kate Bishop at one point in time, well, she might be the boss, but there's one more in front of her, and it's somebody you don't want to screw with. It's somebody you don't want to mess with. That's obviously the Kingpin.
Sure. I mean, even her uncle, that we all know. And even Kazi at one point turns to her and says, you know, hey, that was kind of out of control, this whole kidnapping the girl or Hawkeye and this and that. And, you know, is this really kind of not what the big man is kind of looking for?
The big man.
And she goes, I'm in charge. He goes, yes, yes, you are in charge. So she kind of shuts him down and says, you know, yeah, your uncle's not going to appreciate this. She goes, I'm in charge. So that was kind of a power move. We know that she's in charge, but there is someone above her that she answers to. So it's got to be the uncle.
Well, then we get another flashback scene right after that. And it's really her as an adult now showing up at her father's warehouse where he's working. And the Ronin character, quote unquote, is in the factory just raining havoc on the entire Tracksuit Mafia. So what we find out is that her father, who in the scenes we had seen previously was wearing a tracksuit. Yeah. So we knew that he was in charge of the Tracksuit Mafia at some point in time. She shows up as an adult to the warehouse that he's working in. And the Ronin character is in there basically stabbing and killing every Tracksuit Mafia person in there. And she's wanting to break in, but she doesn't. And eventually the Ronin character jumps out the window and she comes in and her father's dying after having been stabbed by the Ronin character. And her father says, you know,
I'm already gone.
I'm gone. It's now your time. You know, leave me alone, whatever. And, you know, this was the premise of her having a beef against the Ronin character for killing her father.
Yeah, and her obsession with finding him and revenging her father, yeah.
Right.
Interesting.
Yeah, it was really cool. And then we fast forward to current times. Again, we've got Kate Bishop and Hawkeye kind of tied up on these hobby horses inside of
an old KB KB Toys.
Yeah.
I remember KB Toys. We used to go there all the time.
Toys R Us, KB Toys, all this, the hobby horses they had in there, they kept putting quarters into the machine so they would continue to like ride them, joking with them. And eventually they're like, hey, the boss is going to want to talk to you. And Echo eventually comes out and has a sign language conversation with Hawkeye.
And she notices his ear, his hearing aid. And she has him cut loose so he can sign, but he's not very proficient at it.
Right. And Kazi, the other character who's the clown, ends up interpreting for both of them. They have a conversation. He's like, look, Ronin is dead. And she's like, how do you know? And he's like, because
I was there.
I was there. And she's like, who killed him? And she's like, the Black Widow. Hawkeye says, the Black Widow. And she says, but she's dead. That's convenient. And he's like, yeah, but I was there. I saw it.
Yeah.
And so he's trying to deflect any attention from Kate Bishop being the Ronin character, as well as, you know, we know that Hawkeye was the Ronin character.
Yeah.
And he's trying to deflect that attention from himself.
Yeah.
But he's like, hey, the Ronin character was killed. And theoretically,
he was.
That's what happened.
Yeah.
He was Ronin. Black Widow shows up and says, you need to end this life and end what you're doing and come back to the team and be part of what we need to do to kind of fix things.
Yeah.
And that's what he did. And she did end up killing Ronin because she brought him out of that character.
Yeah.
And, but he, it's not like he was lying, but
no,
he basically was trying to deflect the fact that, hey,
Kate Bishop has nothing to do with Ronin.
Right.
Get off her scent. But they're not. I think.
And she gets very aggressive with Kate. And, you know, Kate's being Kate, you know, trying to, like, you know, have conversations with people and kind of diffuse some of the tension. And Echo comes up to her and basically tries to strangle her. And Kazi's like, oh, wait, what are you doing here? This is kind of crazy. And I think what's crazy is that they all understand that Hawkeye is in the room with them. They're like, this is an Avenger. This is Hawkeye. What are you doing?
Yeah.
Do you really want to have the Avengers come after us? This is like, this is craziness. And, you know, Echo's like, hey, I mean, I got to do my job. And Kazi's like, slow down here. This is crazy. Eventually, Hawkeye is able to escape. And he, you know, is kind of whispering to Kate Bishop, says, on my signal, we're going to get out of here. Everything's going to be okay. Just make it happen. And eventually he frees himself.
Yeah.
And he's now on the run and she's still tied up. She's like, how did he do that? That's amazing. Well, now he's got the entire tracksuit mafia chasing him through the warehouse and he's able to kind of elude them to the fact that he, you know, to the point that he, you know, jumps on top of some different, you know,
shelving
and then he knocks it over on top of them. Gets into the office where they had hidden his bow and all of his arrows.
Yeah.
Grabs them.
By the way, Echo kind of kicked his ass for a little bit there.
Echo kind of like found him and was like, you know, knocking him around and kicked him in the ear. So it basically crushed or it knocked out his hearing aid.
Yeah.
And then she stepped on it. So he was completely deaf at that point in time.
Yeah.
Or very hard of hearing, whatever he is.
Yeah.
But he gets his arrows and his bow. And once he gets his arrows and his bow, it's like it's over.
Yeah,
he
pins Echo to the wall with a couple of...
Shoots a couple of arrows at Echo, pins her to the wall. He's shooting all the other tracksuit mafia guys that show up. He's able to like shoot arrow.
He's shooting them in the legs and in the shoulder and in the hand. No, not a lethal kill, yeah. Which is good.
He shoots Kate Bishop's handcuffs, restraints on the wrists, frees her. And but they're able to escape eventually.
Great fight scene. That's a great fight scene in the
Once
in
he
the
got
warehouse.
His bow and arrows, it was like it was over. I mean,
so cool, like a highlight of his skills with a bow and arrow, still unmatched. That was a really cool fight. And then they run outside and they grab a car, and then another great action scene, man. I mean, the one shot of the camera inside the car that you saw from the trailer, that whole scene is spectacular. I mean, really good.
It's literally like 8 minutes of them fleeing the scene and having two trucks and another car chase them. And, you know, them in this car. And Hawkeye can't hear a thing that Kate's saying to her, to him, because he doesn't have his hearing aid anymore.
Right.
And he's like, don't use this arrow. Don't use this arrow. Don't.
Oh, that's too dangerous. Yeah.
And all the arrows she's grabbing do different things. So she shoots one arrow at one of the cars. And it's just like
this gooey purple foam
that goes over the windshield and completely blinds them. And then she shoots the exploding arrow at the truck and it completely blows them up.
Trick arrows. She's shooting trick arrows and she's in heaven.
And shoots a plunger arrow at one of the screens and it does nothing.
Shoot the gooey arrow at the tires. It'll stop the car. She shoots it at, you know, she just shot it at the windshield. That was a great scene, and you can see their relationship building when they communicate with each other or not communicate with each other. The relationship is incredible.
But there was one point where he was like, "Here, take these two and shoot it at the stoplights."
Acid arrows,
stoplights. You know, and she hits both of those, and they're driving this car. It's crazy, and then she shoots this one arrow that has these these wires that go off and grab all the Christmas trees and pull them into the other car so it gets trapped. Yeah. I mean, it's like craziness.
Cool.
And they end up getting onto this bridge, and they have like three arrows left. And he's like, okay, here's this one arrow. I want you to shoot it straight up in the air. And she's like, what? And he's like, just shoot it straight up in the air.
Yeah, to take out, because we got to take out that truck, shoot it up in the air. And so she's aiming, she's kind of, I think she's a great archer. I mean, one of the best as far as what he's concerned, too. I think he agrees with it. But yeah, that was a cool
thing. She shoots it straight up in the air, and he then takes out this arrow, and you see on the front of the tip of the arrow, it says PYM, P-Y-M on it. And he shoots it at the arrow she shot.
And it's glowing blue. It's a blue tip.
Which basically we see it's a PIM particle. And he hits the arrow she shot in the air, which enlarges it to this enormously giant arrow, which comes down and straight and hits this truck. And it just completely demolishes it, which is crazy.
Cuts the truck in two. It's awesome.
That was incredible. And then he uses his last arrow. Well, he takes the plunger arrow off the windshield of the one car, and she's not sure why. But then he shoots his last arrow to kind of save them. It's like the grappling hook arrow. Gets them onto the subway and uses the plunger arrow to kind of like be able to hold on to the subway. She's like, oh, now I know why you used the plunger arrow. So they
the trick arrow scene was cool. That was awesome.
That whole escape scene was fantastic. And they get on the subway, and he can't hear anything. And he says, while he's on the subway, he can't hear anything. He says, I agree with you. You're one of the best archers in the world.
Yeah.
So he acknowledges the fact that what she was able to do in the car while they were. He was very impressed with her archery. So basically, he's like, hey, you're one of the best. Shot down the traffic lights with the acid arrows and all these. Yeah. He's like, he was pretty impressed with her. And, you know, she didn't know that he couldn't hear her and all this other. It was a funny scene.
Yeah, the whole dog humor there. Hey, we should take out the dog.
And then he probably needs a walk. Yeah.
It's been cooped up all day. That was a great scene and cute scene that they're kind of on the same page and their relationship is going forward. Because we didn't get that the first two episodes. We really got kind of Kate's backstory. We got Hawkeye, a little bit of Hawkeye and where he's at and kind of struggling with it. We kind of get a lot of Kate's mom and new boyfriend and that. But this scene was really about introducing Echo. And then I think they've turned a corner with this relationship building and the writing is really good. And this scene really, especially the scene after that, when they get to there and back to her aunt's house and his son calls, Nathaniel calls. And that scene was absolutely,
that was an incredibly powerful scene.
It was heart-wrenching.
We saw Hawkeye does not have his hearing aid, so he can't hear. He gets a phone call from his wife that he looks on his phone. It's from his wife. And he's like, hey, babe, I can't talk right now. Can you text me?
Yeah. And he's still denying about his hearing loss. And he even said at one point in the conversation, you know, it's great to hear your voice, you know. And he's like, why aren't you lying? He's still in denial about this.
Can you text? But eventually Kate like picks up a pad and says, it's a little boy's voice.
Yeah.
So his son had grabbed his mom's phone and called his dad. And Kate's basically translating and writing on a piece of pad of paper so he can have a conversation with his own son who misses his father. It's okay if you're not going to be home for Christmas.
Yeah,
I understand. You know, I miss you. And tonight was like, you know, movie marathon night. And all of a sudden, and Kate's basically realizing I'm screwing up his family's life basically with what I've done here.
He sacrificed staying here to protect me and to help me. And this is what he's leaving behind. I think it's huge. As far as the character is concerned, I mean, Clint, you see this human side of him and this family side of him that he's yearning to get back to, but this other thing inside is pulling him away from it to help people and to do. And he mentions that in the episode, you know, there's sacrifices you have to make. It's not just all helping
people. That was the next scene. They end up going to a diner and having breakfast. So they go to a doctor's office. They get his hearing aid fixed, which she fixes. Then they go to a diner, have breakfast, and, you know, Kate's like, you know, joking with him, you know, your problem is your image. And she tries to like come up with a new costume. And the costume she comes up with is the comic book costume for
just
Hawkeye,
like the one
which
we
is
have the professor has here on the table,
which is the wings and the H on the helmet. And he's like, number one, he's like, I've spent my entire career
trying this.
Not to be recognized, yeah. And now you want me to be recognized. And he says, now, secondly, if I ever wore this, my wife would divorce me. You know, it's like, he was like, this is like the most ridiculous thing ever. And she's like, you know, and he's like, number three, I'm not a role model. And she says, you are a role model.
Yeah, no question.
What you've just done, everything that you've done up until this point has been like role model-ish, yeah, right? You know, that you've
made sacrifices and came back to save a stranger you didn't know anything about. And because you knew that they were in danger. And she's talking about herself in the Ronin suit. So, you know, yes, he has some ulterior motives, but he's also, you know, there to help her.
He's more of a role model than he thinks he is.
No
question. And she's telling him that. And you can see the connection between the two of them growing. Yeah. And eventually she's like, hey, I think we can kind of figure out what's going on here. My mom's security company has a lot of access. We're going to go break into my mom's penthouse and we're going to figure this stuff out. And he's like, okay.
Okay.
So they go to her penthouse after they walk the dog, of course.
Yeah.
They go to the penthouse, break into her mom's penthouse. She logs on to the computer. They look up Kazi and they find out that he's associated with some kind of shell company.
Sloan LLC.
Right. And he's like, you ever heard that before? She's like, no, I've never heard that. And she's like, continuing to do stuff at the computer. And he's like walking around. It's like, something doesn't seem right.
Yeah.
And he's walking around the penthouse. He's like, what's going on? And, eventually her account gets locked out and then he's walking into the next room. And all of a sudden at the end of the episode, we see the swordsman throw the
Ronin sword
at the neck of Hawkeye. It says, don't move. And that's how the episode ends.
Yeah.
And we can't wait to see what happens from there.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't wait either. We got this episode was spectacular. Great. It touched all the buttons, the Marvel buttons, the heart-wrenching, the backstory, the narrative was perfect.
And the action was fantastic.
The action was as good as Venom's action as far as I'm concerned in this series. It was great. We got the pizza dog name. She finally calls him Pizza Dog.
Oh, she's like, we need to name this. Hawkeye says, we need to name this dog. And she's looking at him. And she's like,
Little Caesars.
Jack, Little Caesar.
Yeah.
Pizza Dog. And he like smiles. it's like funny.
Yeah, it's cute. I mean, it's just, I don't know. There's a theory out there that the Ronin that was killing the top elite track star mafia people and ended up killing Maya's father, Echo Maya, her father at the auto repair shop, that might have been the swordsman. That Ronin, that Clint Barton took over.
So
the
let's
Ronin
not go too far down that road because that will kind of go into our topic of the week a little bit. But I have some theories about that as well.
So we got a lot of speculating to do on this show. Could be classic Marvel throwing us curveballs. That might not be the Kingpin. It might be the Kingpin. Who knows? We do know that we're going to see. You got to help me, Professor. I'm going to butcher it. Yolanda Bolilovich.
My God.
Not even close?
Like.
Not even close?
Yelena.
Oh, Yolanda.
Belova.
I thought she was African American. I thought it was Yolanda. No, it's Yelena. Russian.
Huh? Yelena Belova.
We got her to look forward to. And I think there was a
so we saw that in the there was a trailer for this next episode that showed a character, quote unquote, in a black stealth suit with green kind of night vision goggles and a bunch of other green.
More than just two eyes, though. There was like one here and one in the middle.
Well, it is literally. And this is why there's the allusions to her character from the Thunderbolts, actually. She had two kind of green goggles with three other green dots on her forehead. It's exactly the same as her uniform from when she was in the Thunderbolts.
As she was, what was it called? What was her name? She changed her name. It wasn't the Black Widow.
But it was Yelena Belova, though.
It was Yelena Belova.
But it was her character from the Thunderbolts with the
comic book
the
thing,
five green dots all over her head. And I'm like, it was like, wait a minute, that's got to be her. So, look, we knew after the end credit scene from Black Widow of...
We know she's going to be in this.
We knew she's going to be in the Hawkeye series. Well, at least trying to hunt Hawkeye based on, you know, the fact that she was basically put on that track by an individual who will remain nameless. But
Val.
Val. You know, Val said, hey, would you like to go after the person who killed your sister?
Yeah.
And
she's got to know better than that. But,
we saw that in the kind of the trailer for the next episode. And we're hoping that they look. I think there's some conjecture here. What we think is going to happen from this point forward, at some point in time, we're going to find out that the Kingpin is in charge of everything that's going on with the Tracksuit Mafia and Echo and everything else.
Yeah, we're going to find out why the watch was so important to the Tracksuit Mafia that was taken from Avengers Campus. Hawkeye kind of made an allusion in this episode about the campus, and I hope that they didn't dig up anything too dangerous from
Questions.
Avengers Campus.
Was the Kingpin the one that sent them after the watch?
Correct.
Or was it Val?
Right.
Is Val working for the Kingpin, or is she on her own? Right. So those are two questions I have. Now, we know, we figure Yelena Belova eventually is going to show up and try to hunt down Hawkeye and Kate Bishop at some point in time.
How great is that? Kate Bishop meeting her is going to be, for me, is going to be kind of cool.
But, I mean, again, theoretically, I think here's what's going to happen. She's going to try to hunt down or kill Hawkeye and Kate Bishop, and the three of them eventually are going to come to some agreement that, like, okay, we're all on the same side here. Stop fighting against each other. We need to be fighting against the people that are screwing this up,
yeah,
which is the Kingpin, and ultimately maybe Madam Mask, who might be her mom or working for the Kingpin, whoever, whatever's happening there. But I think the three of them eventually end up working together, or at least come to some agreement. But I mean, the fact that we're not there yet, again, we can make assumptions, but I think it's really cool the fact that we're asking that question right now, and we're getting some signs that that's going to happen going forward. I mean, you know, Yelena Belova is going to show up in the show eventually.
Of course. It's already been confirmed.
Florence Pugh is going to be in this show, and she's going to show up and try to at least kill them, if not attack them or whatever. We're going to figure that out, and something's going to happen. So whether they end up working together or continuing to fight against each other or what, we'll figure that out. But that's going to be really cool when it happens.
Does the Swordsman and Hawkeye continue their comic book?
Well, that's what
narrative?
I'm looking for. Next episode.
You're going to find
out. Hey, I know that guy.
You're going to find
out. That's the MF-er that trained me, and I've known him for
years. You're
going to
find out next episode, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
So that's a big one. I have a feeling they don't. They're not going to follow the comic book storyline, but we'll see. Excited to see.
All right. Well, you know, from my perspective, again, we're in episode 3 of 6. Was it 6? 6 episodes?
Yeah, only 6. We only have 3 left.
You know, as far as I'm concerned, this series has lived up to all the expectations I ever had, and it's exceeded them. The cast is off the charts. The acting's fantastic. The screenwriting is fantastic, and I can't wait to see what happens next.
Agree 100%.
You know, the fact that each episode is only 42 minutes long pisses me off, but you know what? It's been great so far.
And only 6 of them, and we're already halfway done.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, Titanium, we're halfway through a new series, and we're completely excited and jazzed up about it.
Great. Again, one of my favorite episodes of all the series so far, and I really like Hawkeye, so I like it a lot. Very good.
And let's just say, at this point in time, Kate Bishop and the character itself and the actress playing the character, Hailee Steinfeld, will be part of the MCU for a long time going forward.
If she's not, they've made a huge mistake.
She is a rock star actress.
Great actress.
And literally, this is a gold mine for them from a content perspective. Like, look, you and I have alluded to the fact that they're going to do a Young Avengers.
Why wouldn't they?
Team at some point in time. You're telling me that having Hailee Steinfeld as a character who could potentially be a part of or lead a team of Young Avengers? This is, I mean, her acting chops are off the charts good. Her personality is off the charts good. Her screen, you know, magnanimism is phenomenal. And it's just like, how do you not put this person in front of a big screen. I mean,
Of course.
This is going to happen.
Of course.
This is going to happen.
Absolutely will happen.
I mean, she's just really killing it right now.
If they're going to give Sam Wilson Captain America 4, they're going to give him his own movie. They got to give Haley a movie. I mean, she could, well, she is. She's a leading actress. But again, the acting and the casting of this is off the charts.
And I think a lot of the things that they're doing going forward, we're going to see stature potentially in the next Ant-Man Quantumania movie, which would be
Scott Lang's daughter.
Lang's daughter. It would be another potential Young Avengers character.
Yeah.
I mean,
Isaiah Bradley, we saw
in the Falcon Winter Soldier. Yeah, I mean, we've got not who Isaiah, it's Elijah Bradley.
Elijah Bradley, yeah.
Yeah.
Who plays the Patriot.
Yeah, young Patriot. I think we've got the team kind of happening in front of us. And, you know, God, heaven forbid it's Tom Holland that leads this. You know, the Spider-Man. I mean, who knows what's going on with this? But, you know, we have so many young, magnetic characters that are coming into the MCU right now. I mean, and Hayley Steinfeld's killing it on this show.
Oh, yeah.
Look, we talked about when Falcon and Winter Soldier, as disconnected as the plot was and everything else that happened because
pandemic. It was pandemic.
All that other stuff. Look, Sam Wilson, the character, killed it in that movie,
yeah.
And the reason why we're going to get a Captain America movie with that character leading that movie is because of that series and how well it did. And the reason why we're getting an Agatha Harkness solo series on Disney Plus is because of the success of WandaVision. Look, Hayley Steinfeld is killing it on this show right now.
Yeah.
If she doesn't lead or be part of a big team future movie going forward, I don't know what's going on.
Because
she is really, I mean, you said this last week, Titanium, and I'll give you credit for this. This is more her show.
Oh, yeah.
It's called Hawkeye.
Yeah.
But it is more her show than anything else.
First couple episodes were passing of the torch, I feel. So yeah, absolutely. It's her
show. I think
show.
If she does not get the opportunity to be in a major picture on the big screen, I mean, I just don't know what they're doing. But they got to be doing this.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, they got to be. Absolutely.
All right, well, let's jump into the news section this week. And you alluded to it at the beginning of the show. You got a new trailer for Peacemaker. I have not seen it, so tell me all about it.
Oh, you haven't seen it?
Not seen it.
It's funny. It's got humor in it.
Stop
It is very funny. And it kind of gives you a little bit of story about what he's doing now and the predicament that he's in and how he's being hunted by police, but yet he's on this special task force that's kind of out there on their own. So it's kind of cool. I mean, it was tongue-in-cheek. It's a lot of humor, a lot of great action. He blows some shit up, and I think they spent a lot of money doing this. It looks like a Disney Plus show. I mean, or a high-end Netflix show.
Or is it a Netflix show?
A Netflix show.
Oh, how much of this looks like a Netflix show.
Yeah.
That's like a bad thing, right?
No, it's not a bad thing at all.
You and I both thought this when we saw The Suicide Squad, the second movie.
Second one.
John Cena is literally a rock star when it comes to acting and this role and these characters. I mean, literally, they found the right guy for the right role. And when we heard we're going to make a Peacemaker show, we're like, okay, that's like a no-brainer.
That's a no-brainer.
This guy is...
Yeah.
I mean, John Cena...
He is a
funny
lovable
shit.
Meathead that is just dorky as shit.
What's
lovable
his Eagle's
meathead.
Name?
Eagly. Eagly. He's in the show, too. He's a trained eagle.
His name is Eagly. Oh, my God. So funny. And you know what? Look, this is coming out. You know, we've talked about the fact that there's some lag in the Marvel content. And you and I are going to have a lot to talk about between now and then because we've got Spider-Man and we've got Morbius and we've got now Peacemaker and all kinds of... And hopefully The Boys are coming very soon as well, which we're very looking forward to.
Yes.
But look, I'm really looking forward to the Peacemaker show. John Cena is killing it in this role.
It's hilarious. I'm telling you, that's why I was so excited and animated at the beginning of the show, because this Peacemaker trailer just, it took me to the next level for this show. I hope I'm not overhyping it, but James Gunn, I think, has hit a home run on this, and it's hilarious.
Look, I'm telling you, John Cena, they found a guy who just plays the right role, the right time, with the right personality, and I think James Gunn, he's a guy that recognizes talent, and he gets it. He's like, look, we found kind of, you know,
Dave Bautista.
Right. We found somebody who's kind of a you know, a genie in a bottle to some extent, and we should use this. And he did. And that's what he said. Hey, we got a genie in the bottle with the Suicide Squad. Hey, let's kind of see what happens with this. And man, I mean, he's killing it.
Yeah.
And like this
good show.
The trailers are off the charts,
yeah,
funny.
I can't wait for this show.
All right. Well, I'm looking forward to it as well. And that's coming in January, like mid-January, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That'd be great. Well, you got another piece of news about Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness, right? So,
yeah, there's a Lego, a shot of the Lego set that's coming out, and it's got Doctor Strange, Wanda, and American Chavez on the cover.
And Wong.
And Wong, yeah.
Is it Wang or Wong?
Sir, please. I don't even know you. How dare you talk about that?
You originally sent me Wang, and you're like, oh, sorry, it's Wong.
I was Wong. I didn't mean to send you Wang. I was Wong.
So we've had this before several times, as a matter of fact. What happens is these movies are planned, and the toy companies now have kind of the rights to make these toys well in advance of these movies coming out. Yeah. And then you get these screenshots of the toys that are coming out in the future, and they're kind of allusions to what's going on in the movie.
Yeah.
And now we've got a Lego set that's got Wong, yeah, and the Scarlet Witch,
yeah,
and America Chavez,
yeah,
and
Shumagora, whatever that
Shumagora,
Shumagora,
and yeah, and Doctor Strange. And we're like, oh, well, this is what's going to happen in the movie. So here's what we'll always say about this. Like, the toy sets do kind of allude to a lot of the stuff that's going on in these movies, because sure, they,
it's what sells toys. They got to be factual about what's going on.
Look,
you can't have a cruise boat and Doctor Strange is on a Lego cruise boat when it has nothing to do with the fucking movie.
Look, these toy companies spend millions of dollars for the licensing rights for these properties.
Yeah.
And they work directly with the studios to make sure that they can create items that they can sell that are going to make millions of dollars as well,
yeah,
based on these movies. And so we get a lot of allusions to what's going to happen in the movie based on what's coming out in the toys. And this is what you're seeing here. The Legos are basically saying, we're going to see all these characters in that movie. Now, no big surprise that all four of those characters are going to be in that movie. Wong, Doctor Strange, you know,
American
Scarlet
Chavez.
Witch, and America Chavez.
Can't wait for that.
Yeah. But the fact that these toys are coming out and we're seeing them, hey, it's telling you what's going on in this movie, right?
Yeah. I mean, toys look sick. I love Legos. The toys look sick. This movie's going to be incredible. I'm glad we got a little glimpse of it. I'm just glad it's confirmed that America Chavez is going to be in this movie.
And this is a movie that was delayed. It was supposed to come out in March, yeah, now coming out in May. And we're disappointed by the fact that it's been delayed. But the fact is, this movie is going to kill it. I mean, I think what Spider-Man's doing is going to feed right into Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness.
Let's talk about Spider-Man and the ticket sales.
Yeah, but this, I think Doctor Strange is going to be one of the biggest. I mean, God, what a great May. It's going to kill it. It's going to kill it in the movies. So yeah, we're looking forward to this movie for sure.
Absolutely.
The next big Marvel property coming out after Spider-Man is going to be Doctor Strange in May.
In May. Yep.
So let's talk about Spider-Man ticket sales. So the pre-sales have rivaled the Endgame level pre-sales.
Top pre-sales movie of all time, Avengers Endgame, and this has rivaled it right up there with it. And it
so pre-sales went on happened on Monday.
Yeah,
this past Monday.
Did you get your tickets? Go to the theater.
We
and
did.
See this.
By the way, we got our tickets. We're going.
We got our tickets.
Tickets went on sale this past Monday. It was called Spider Monday. And a funny side story, Tom Holland came out and shot a commercial for that Monday, and it's called Spider Monday, which was Cyber Monday, but it's called Spider Monday. And Jamie Foxx was there, oh, it's Spider Monday. How about Electro Monday? And then eventually he comes on and says, I've got two special friends here to help me talk about Spider Monday. And everybody's like, wait a minute, is it Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield? No, it was, you know,
Doc Ock?
No, it was the two friends.
Zendaya.
Zendaya and the other guy. And they're like, oh, who else did you think it was?
His buddy's Ned.
Ned. But who else did you think it was? It was kind of funny. But
so they made a play on everybody thinking the other two Spider-Mans are in it?
Right, that's what they did. Okay. But the fact is, tickets went on sale on Monday. And if you woke up Monday morning, tried to buy tickets to the Spider-Man movie, it would not be a surprise if you had trouble buying those tickets. Because if you went on to Fandango or any of the other movie ticket sites and tried to buy tickets, all of those websites crashed like within minutes of each other because everybody's trying to do it at the same time.
Have you ever heard, I mean, I'm sure everybody's heard that saying that, you know, I say it all the time when I'm about to post a picture of myself on the internet. I mean, this picture is going to break the internet. That's how good I look in this picture. It's going to break the internet. Well, Spider-Man ticket sales actually did break the internet in a real sense. A lot of these movie theaters, their systems couldn't take it. It shut it down.
Yeah, within minutes of them opening up ticket sales for Spider-Man, those websites crashed. And they were back up and running, and by the time most of us tried to buy tickets, we were able to do so. But the fact that they were shut down for some period of time tells you a lot. And to Titanium's point, Avengers Endgame was the greatest pre-sales ticket movie of all time.
Yes.
And this now is close to that. They're now talking about a $200 million
opening
weekend for Spider-Man No Way Home.
That's during the pandemic.
Which would be one of the largest opening weekends of all time. Mm-hmm. Remember, Avengers Endgame is the largest or second largest.
Behind Avatar.
Behind Avatar, second largest selling movie of all time. And it had the largest opening weekend of all time beyond Avatar. So Avengers Endgame had the largest opening weekend of all time. 200 million is right up there. I think Avengers Endgame did 215, somewhere in that 205, 215.
Wow. That's a lot
so
of jack.
200 million is right there. And I would not be surprised. You're talking about Christmas, all the internet hype, all the craziness, everything else. You know, during a pandemic, everyone wants to get to the theaters.
A lot of money.
Look, people, everybody's going to want to see this movie. Again, I'm a little bit tired of all the hype, but at the same time,
I'm excited.
I'm not discounting what Sony and Marvel have done because they've crushed it as far as hype is concerned.
Yeah.
This movie will kill it. Yeah. This movie will do $1 billion. I'm going to tell you right now, right here on Super Talk, this movie will do $1 billion worldwide.
Professor, that's amazing insight. I've been saying that the past two episodes, but I agree with you. $1 billion easily. This is a money
this will
maker.
Be one of the top five movies of all time.
Moneymaker.
By the time it's done.
Yeah, this thing's going to print money.
Yep. Well, speaking of Spider-Man, we got a great announcement from Amy Pascal.
Money printing machine. Yeah.
So Amy Pascal's the president of Sony Pictures. Uh-huh. She came out this week and made a huge announcement that we kind of all expected. You know, we were all kind of concerned or worried or that this was the end of the Tom Holland version of Spider-Man, that this, you know, the end of the trilogy, that this is the end of, like, Tom Holland. And she said, oh, no. This is just the beginning. We have already have plans in place for another trilogy
of
movies. Mm-hmm. Featuring Tom Holland as Spider-Man in cooperation with Marvel, which is the biggest part of that. So not only have they agreed to another trilogy of movies with Tom Holland, but this is also going to be in cooperation with Marvel Studios. The biggest announcement we could ever expect we could hope for is that not only are they going to have three more movies with this guy leading the Spider-Man character who we think...
Confirmation that it's this guy.
And Marvel's involved.
Huge. Those three things, the fact that they've already started working on another trilogy for Spider-Man and Tom Holland's attached to it with cooperation from Marvel in the Marvel Universe, even though they want to build their own Spider-Verse, which is fine as long as it still integrates with the Marvel Universe.
Sony is printing money at this point in time. Why would they not do it? So that's the biggest question. But the second biggest question is, look, as much as I was, I'd say slightly disappointed when Andrew Garfield was jettisoned for Tom Holland. I mean, because I thought Andrew Garfield did a great job with the character. And
he's not my number three.
But I thought he did okay. I mean, I was looking forward to the next one with him. Yeah. And then they brought Tom Holland in, and I was like, why are they doing this? Well, the reason they did it was because Marvel wanted a part of it, and I get that, and I understand. But the fact that they've now made an official announcement that, yes, this is the end of a trilogy. We've got now three movies with Tom Holland in cooperation with Marvel as Spider-Man, and that's over.
Yeah.
Guess what? We're doing three more. I love it. Number one, I love Tom Holland.
He's great.
I loved some of the things I've seen on the internet, which is great. Look, they say Tobey Maguire was the best Peter Parker. I agree with that.
Yeah.
He was the best Peter Parker. Like, nobody played the Peter Parker kind of dorky, kind of quirky, kind of nerdy character like Tobey Maguire did. He did that really well. They said Andrew Garfield was the best Spider-Man. And I kind of agree with that. Andrew Garfield's Spider-Man, when he was the Spider-Man character, he was pretty badass. He was like a badass Spider-Man. I agree with that. But they say Tom Holland is the best combination of the both of them. He's a good Peter Parker and a good Spider-Man, so he's kind of the best combination of the both. And I agree with all
Absolutely,
of that.
Absolutely, I agree with that.
So, you know, Tobey Maguire, best Peter Parker. Andrew Garfield, best Spider-Man. But Tom Holland's the best combination of the both of them, which I agree with. So I'm happy for him to continue on as the character.
Yeah,
that's great. And for him to get three more movies, and he's young enough, and he can play that character, and now we can get him into... So the first three movies have been him in high school. We can get him into college, and we kind of see what happens going forward. And eventually, Sinister Six and all this other stuff that Sony wants to do. You know, we know they're already doing a Kraven movie with Anthony Taylor Johnson. We know they're setting up the Sinister Six movies. I mean, this is going to be great. So I'm all excited for that.
Yeah, it's good stuff. And I agree. You couldn't have done it better. I mean, make smart decisions. They are. What else do we got?
Well, we did see a report that Michael Keaton is now filming additional scenes for the Morbius movie. Now, reminder... The Morbius movie is coming out in January.
Yeah.
So we're seeing this movie in January. He's filming new scenes for that movie right now. So what's that tell you? Number one, they're reshooting scenes for something that's coming out in January right now, which means, holy crap, they want to fix or change or do something.
Or it could be an end credit scene where they're setting up a movie from next year that was on the slate, but maybe not on the slate.
Exactly, Titanium. Yeah. They're changing things. They're doing things differently now based on what's going on with Marvel and DC and Sony.
Smart.
And the combination between the two of them.
So we're going to get a Flash, maybe a Flash end scene? That would be
Flash.
Cool. Why not?
In a Marvel movie?
In Morbius. Michael Keaton.
Why would we get a Flash scene?
Well, isn't Michael Keaton shooting additional stuff for Morbius? Or you think he's the Vulture?
Yes, the Vulture.
Okay. I thought it would be cool if it was the Batman.
No, this is in the Morbius movie that's a Sony movie. He's playing the Vulture character.
Oh, you're right. Yes. Okay. I got it. Yeah.
Let's bring Titanium back to reality here. No. He's filming additional scenes for the Morbius movie when he's playing the... Because we saw...
The Vulture. He's going to play the Vulture. Okay.
In the trailers, we've seen him...
Oh, he was on Jimmy Kimmel and said, I'm filming some Vulture, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I remember that. Okay.
Yeah. So, hey, they're doing that right now. So that's like a big thing that they're really trying to tie in the Morbius movie to the MCU, to what's going on with Venom and
Smart.
Spider-Man and everything else. So, you know, Michael Keaton as the Vulture character, huge in the Sinister Six. I mean, that would be just enormous. Yeah, so that would be great.
Cool. Okay.
All right. Let's get into the top of the week this week. So our top of the week, we're going to break down the Echo character. So we saw kind of a little bit of a backstory or history of the Echo character in this week's episode of Hawkeye.
Somewhat similar to the comic book.
Somewhat.
Yeah.
Similar. I think the origin story that they showed in the series is very similar to her origin story in the comic books, but there are some differences. So, yes, she was born deaf. She's a deaf character. She is a Native American character. So she's completely 100% Native American. Her father's Native American. She's from the Cherokee Nation. Those are all very similar to what she is in the comics. And I think that's why this character is very important for Marvel going forward, is so we're showing a Native American character that we can kind of be in the forefront or out front in the Marvel MCU.
American,
right?
Doctor Strange, American Chavez is also a Native American character.
Very important, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So inside of the comic, so again, I'm going to talk specifically about the comic books versus what's going on in the Hawkeye series. We'll kind of talk a little bit about the differences, but inside the comics, her father was an enforcer for the Kingpin. So he worked for the Kingpin. That's what he did.
Right.
And the Kingpin actually put a hit out on her own father. And he died. And the Kingpin took her in as his own child and said, hey, your father was killed. I'll take you in. And he saw some promise in her and said, hey, I think you got some potential. And I'm going to like take you in as my, you know, stepdaughter or you know, adoptive daughter. And I'm gonna train you.
Yep.
He put her in the best schools that he could afford. So he put her in the schools for deaf children. He put her in the best schools for martial arts. He put her in the best schools for swordsmanship, for weapons. He basically paid for everything to make sure that she had the best access to everything, right? So eventually, they found out that she has the ability to copy any motion that she sees.
Right.
Which is very similar. She's got what's called photographic reflexes.
Like the Taskmaster.
Almost identical to the abilities that the Taskmaster has that we saw in the Black Widow movie. The Taskmaster and Echo have what are called photographic reflexes. So they can see something and they can repeat it or replicate it without ever having done it themselves.
Right.
And they figured out this is something that she has, and this is like a big ability that she has, which is like a huge thing, right? Yeah.
It's similar to the show, though, right? She's kind of got that in the show.
Well, hopefully they're going to dig into that a little bit. I'm hoping they're going to do that in the show. So in the comic books, eventually, the Kingpin set up Maya to meet Matt Murdock, who is the Daredevil character. So Matt Murdock. So they ended up, the Kingpin was the one who set them up so they could meet. And they ended up meeting each other. And Matt Murdock, being a blind, quote unquote, blind lawyer, meeting a deaf, you know, individual, they kind of hit it off, and they, you know, were able to kind of connect, and they ended up kind of having a relationship. Well, eventually, the Kingpin put into Maya's ear that the person who killed your father was Daredevil.
Yeah,
and so he had set up the fact that Daredevil had killed Maya's father.
Yeah.
Although Kingpin had arranged for Maya's father to be killed.
Right. He was behind it.
So he had basically put in her ear that Daredevil, the superhero, was the one who killed her father. So then she went out to hunt Daredevil.
Yeah.
And eventually she found Daredevil and hunted him down, and they fought. And eventually they fought to a standstill, and she unmasked him and found out it was Matt Murdock, who she had been dating, and she was shocked. She's like, oh my God, this is a guy who I care about, who I love, and he's the one that's killed my father. And Daredevil's like, who told you that? And she was like, my uncle, the Kingpin. And he's like, do you know who your uncle the Kingpin is?
Right.
And so it came down to the fact that Daredevil was able to convince her
He tells her that the Kingpin is a...
Your uncle is the worst human being on the planet. Yeah. He is in charge of all the organized crime in New York City. He framed me for your father's death.
That he did.
Right. And basically convinced her of this because they had a relationship that she was able to do that. And then eventually, Echo got pretty pissed off about that. And she ended up hunting down Kingpin and shooting him.
Yeah.
So she ended up shooting Kingpin to the fact that she ended up blinding him. She shot out one of his eyes and he was blind for a period of time in the comic books. So this again, and I think this kind of alludes back to what's going on in the Hawkeye series.
That's why everybody thinks the Kingpin is in the Hawkeye series.
Right. Is that in this Hawkeye series, we've seen... What she saw was Ronan killing her father. Yeah. It would not be surprising if that were the swordsman or somebody else who was sent by the Kingpin to kill her father on behalf of the Kingpin. And just to set up Echo as a villain, right? And she's eventually going to find this out. So, again, I think there's some allusions there. And I think we're going to see that happen in this series, that somebody else but the Ronin character killed her father, which would be very telling in this particular series, because we know that Echo is getting her own series and we know that she's going to be an important character going forward. So I wouldn't be surprised if that's what's happening in this series here.
Yeah. If the Kingpin's in this series and it's played by the same actor that was in the Daredevil Netflix series, would that be the first time we've seen a character from any of those series appear?
I don't think we're going to see Charlie Cox, the Daredevil character, in this series, nor are we going to see it in, I think, potentially in the Echo series. But seeing Vincent D'Onofrio as the Kingpin, yeah, that would be the first Netflix character we see in any Disney Plus series. Right. Yes. And I think that makes all the sense in the world. Eventually... You know, there's lots of other things that happens to the Echo character in the comic books. She eventually ends up becoming part of a contest that was rigged by the Phoenix Force. So we know the Phoenix Force eventually was in Jean Grey, one of the X-Men. But the Phoenix Force now needed a new host, so it wanted to find a new worthy host inside of Marvel or the characters, and it arranged a contest, and Echo ended up fighting Namor. Namor fought Echo, brought her underneath the ocean, and basically suffocated her and defeated her very easily. But the Phoenix Force felt that this character was something that it was close to. And it bonded with her, and it ended up reviving her, and she ended up becoming one with the Phoenix Force and defeated all the other people who were vying for the Phoenix Force. So later on the comics, she ended up being part of the Phoenix Force. And I mean, this is like, so she ended up being a big character in the comic books at some point in time because she had the Phoenix Force. But I'm telling you, this character, look, Echo the character and Alakwa Cox, the person playing that character, has got a big future in the MCU because we know that's a series is coming out with that character going forward. So I think it's great, and I can't wait to see where this character is going.
I'll be the first to
forward.
Admit, I was very skeptical when they said an Echo a series was coming out about this character. But seeing the character in this episode, I'm looking forward to seeing how they develop this character more to be able to hold that kind of a series.
And I think they're taking a lot from the comics and changing what they did with Daredevil and using Hawkeye as kind of, or Ronan as the kind of the bad person. And that would be great.
I agree with you.
That's one of the best things that Marvel's done is they've taken stories from the comics and just changed them a little bit to make them work inside of the MCU. And I think it's awesome.
Looking forward to it. Yeah. Looking forward to that show now.
All right.
Let's ring the bell. Professor, is school over?
I think so. All right.
Time says the bell is ringing.
Well, that's it for us this week. We'll be back next week for more Super Talk. To get in touch with us on social media, hit us up via email at supertalkpodcast@outlook.com or at supertalkpod on Twitter. Until then, stay super, everyone.